Welcome to the Nova Nation podcast. This is Rob Logan. On this episode, my good friend and co-host Chris Merle and I discuss the foundations of betting on college basketball games. We know it can be overwhelming, but we gave you some tips. But first, of course, we talk Nova basketball. All that right now on the Nova Nation podcast. Listen up. Go Nova. Merle, I am so excited. Do you know why?
Why is that?
Can you sound it? Can you feel it in my voice? The excitement in my voice?
I can feel it.
You can? All right. Well, listen, of course, obviously, I'm excited because it'll be Christmas. So Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Thank you.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays. Secondly, I'm excited, and I have to give a shout-out real quick to Han Hoops. Not only was Adriana one of the greatest players in Nova history, but she has transformed herself into an incredible coach slash trainer. The way she coaches the kids in her program is second to none. We got to meet Chris Jenkins the other day as he was a special coach with her. They're all great people. I highly recommend Han Hoops if you're in the Delaware, South Jersey area. And if you have a young adult playing basketball, sign up, go on her website, look into a training session with her. She's incredible. She's amazing. I can't say enough good things about it. And thirdly, Merle, I have to talk a couple minutes about the women's team playing number 3 UConn tomorrow night at the Pavilion.
It's a big game.
The women's team 7-0 going against the UConn team. They started their season a little bit later, but they're 4-0. Coach Denise Dillon has this team playing. I call you up all the time and I'm like, Merle, I love this team. I love this team. And I love the team for two reasons. First, they play defense. They're outscoring in these seven games. They're outscoring their opponents by a margin of almost 14 points a game. They allow less than 60 points a game on the defensive end. And secondly, rebounding. They out-rebound their opponents by almost 7 rebounds a game. Defense, rebounding, wins games. I know this is a stretch, but tomorrow's game is going to be a lot closer, and what a statement it would be for the women's team to beat UConn tomorrow night.
It would be.
Huge statement. I mean, Maddie Segrist averaging almost 25 points a game over the first 7 games. She's shooting free throws at almost 85%. I mean, these numbers are off the chart for this team. And I've watched them play. I watch them on some different apps on my phone. They are fun to watch. They turn up the defense, and I can't say enough things about them. So good luck tomorrow. Hopefully it would be a big, big win for the women's team to beat UConn tomorrow. So that's got me very excited. So I had to start with that. But let's talk about the men's team, who I'm very excited about too. They are now currently ranked 5th in the nation. They dropped down to like 12, and they've been moving back up with a lot of nice wins. 5 wins in a row now. And I mean, what's your thoughts on the team? I mean, you've been watching them play too.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, what are your thoughts on where this team is right now at this part of the season?
You know, it's a good question. They're right where I thought they would be at this point of the season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the first few games at the Mohegan Sun bubble that they played that tournament, I was a little concerned that they were so reliant offensively on Earl, you know? Mm-hmm. And the perimeter defense I thought was a little shaky. However, since then, and I think the Texas game really kind of opened my eyes. Mm-hmm. That was a very good win against a ranked team on the road. And they had not been home in quite a while. Remember, they stayed in Connecticut to play an extra game.
Right, that Hartford game.
Yes. So to go cross country and play a ranked team, and honestly, I don't even think the game, the score was as indicated. The score was closer than really that Villanova really handled them, I felt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I started to see a little change. I started to see a little better perimeter defense. And something that you had always mentioned was the ball movement offensively, I thought, was better. And, boy, you know, the three-point shooting with Gillespie has been great. And I really like the transfer from Tulane, Daniels. I think he adds mm-hmm. Another perimeter element. Maybe Merle. One thing I could nitpick – I think they miss Cosby Roundtree a little bit off the bench. They could use another banger. I know Dixon comes in there and gives him minutes mm-hmm. on the inside. But I think that Cosby Roundtree is probably a more well-rounded, better offensive player. So I think they do miss him a little bit. But other than that, they're pretty much right where I expected them to be after this early slate of games.
Merle, let me throw some numbers at you because you mentioned a couple players. Caleb Daniels is shooting 45% from three.
Yes, so awesome.
Colin Gillespie also shooting over 40% from mm-hmm. the three-point line. Cole Swider, almost 38% from the three-point line. So there are your three shooters that help obviously spread the court and, you know, really help Robinson, you know, Jeremiah, Robinson Earl in that middle. And obviously that three-point shot creates space for him to get you know, his shot off. I mean, it's a really well-rounded offense.
And a lot of the analysts during the games on television, they tend to bring up how when Jay Wright, part of his offense, he likes to have guards drive and post up mm-hmm. and then kick out. So if you'll see Colin Gillespie does that quite a bit, he's not just standing at the top of the key most of the time. If he sees a lane, he's going to take it and then kick it out. So generally, you'll see, especially when Swider's in the game because he is a shooter, he's usually on one of the wings. And I noticed Daniels has been on a wing a lot too lately. So, and Justin Moore, who's actually really aggressive, and I notice he takes it to the rim at will. But he can also knock down a three if he has to also. I notice his percentage this year isn't that great, but he's taken over five attempts a game, which is good. You want to mm-hmm. see that. Because eventually what's going to happen is these defenses are just going to start to collapse and cut down on. They're not going to allow Gillespie and Moore and Samuels. They're not going to just be able to drive to the rack. So they have to at least keep defenses honest. And Daniels and Gillespie have just been knocking down threes. I mean, Gillespie's been taking some threes like really deep. I don't know if you've noticed. His range has gotten even further. Mm-hmm. But listen – If they can knock down threes consistently, they're going to be really, really tough to beat.
Every single starter, I'm just looking at, you know, numbers real quick because, you know, I'm a numbers guy and that's how I see things. Every single player that has played, you know, minutes this season, all of them have shot over 13 threes. So they all shoot. They all are shooters, you know, to a degree. I mean, even Robinson Earl has shot 25 threes, you know, attempts. So they don't. They can. They have a green light to shoot. Basically, is what I'm getting at. And that's, you know, I don't want to say live or die by the three, by the three, but it's not as bad because, like you said, you have Moore and Gillespie and those guys who can post up and try to get the ball in. But it's fun watching them, especially when that ball is moving around. And I mean, I get excited. I text you during games when that ball is moving around, and to me, that's a staple of Jay Wright right there. Two numbers, real quick.
Yeah,
they are out rebounding the other teams 8 games now by a margin of almost 5 rebounds a game. So even with starting those 3 guards, which, you know, you have Moore, Gillespie, and Daniels, they are still out rebounding their opponents, which I think is a big key. And also, they are only giving up almost only 8 turnovers a game. That's it. So their turnover margin is almost 5 against their opponents. So they're not giving the ball. They're not turning the ball over. They're rebounding. And, to me, that's a great formula for winning.
Yeah, they've cut way down on the turnovers from last year even. And right now, again, they've played 2 ranked teams so far.
Mm-hmm.
So that you might not – and they haven't gotten into conference play yet. So we'll get into that in a minute. But so far, so good. I mean, like I said, I was a little concerned about some of the defensive intensity in the beginning. But especially on the perimeter, they were giving up a lot of uncontested threes, and they seem to be off on the switch on defense and things like that because they do play so much man. But yeah, they've picked that up lately, and the results have been really, really good.
The only time I fall into a trap of live tweeting sometimes and making comments during games. There's some outlets where you can do that online, and I find myself, the times that I do go online and say something, the thing that bothers me the most is when they do that constant switch and they don't switch back.
Yeah, like they got caught a lot in the Arizona State game and the Virginia Tech game. They were getting buried with that. Yeah.
Yeah, they got, and you know, I don't get me wrong, if you can switch, that's great because it does cause a lot of havoc for players. But if you know, when you're getting the 6'9", 6'10" center backing down Gillespie or backing down Moore underneath, you got to either double team that to get that ball kicked back out, or you got to switch back at some point. And I think that's where I get frustrated a little bit during games. But you know, I don't think it really hasn't cause them to not play well as a defense, but that's the one sticky point for me that gets underneath my skin sometimes.
Right, and it hasn't come back to bite them other than really against Virginia Tech, because they had some kids that could shoot. Now,
right,
looking down the road,
right,
they play Creighton in conference play, and that's a team that can definitely shoot. So you got to clean that up by that time, because they'll make you pay.
And speaking of that, let's talk about the upcoming schedule. You're going to have a couple of games where, which I'm trying to look here, but you're going to have a little bit of a lull as far as games played, because I believe is the game the 30th. The game that they were supposed to have got canceled.
That's a St. John's, right?
Yeah, so you're starting to see some games getting canceled, which I guess that's kind of
– to be expected.
Yeah, it's to be expected. But like you said, you have Creighton coming up, which is going to be a very, very tough game.
Creighton's not until February. I think Wednesday night they have Marquette. And then the next game, yeah, then the next game after that is not till after the new year. On Saturday the 2nd, they play Xavier.
Right.
Who is 8-0, but they haven't played anyone.
Correct.
So, to be honest, just, you know, broad paint strokes right here. The Big East is not very good.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That was going to be my next question to you. Who do you think? I mean, obviously, you can say Creighton right away because they're the other team that's ranked. But what other team other than Creighton do you think poses a stiff challenge? I mean, we already seen them beat Georgetown. We already saw them beat Butler. The Butler game to me was, not even close. So
No. Butler looks like they're in a rebuild mode.
Yep.
Georgetown. DePaul hasn't played a game yet.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
St. John's, I don't think they're very good either. We'll find out more about Marquette tomorrow night.
Yep. UConn.
UConn. They might be okay, and Seton Hall might be okay. I don't know much about Providence, to be honest. But in general, I mean, other than the two Creighton games, I mean, how many losses is on this schedule?
Right. At worst, you split with Creighton.
Right. And then other than that, maybe you slip up one or two games. You lose to UConn maybe on the road or – home court advantage is really limited this year without crowds. I mean, you know, so there's much difference between home games and away games now.
Right. And that's even saying, Chris, that all these games are played. That's the other thing, too, you know, because.
Right. Yeah. I don't want to be presumptuous. Some of these might not go off, but just looking at the Big East right now, it's pretty bleak.
Thing that I like what Villanova has done so far is I like how – I mean, at first, I liked the bubble at first. I thought that was a great idea. I thought that was a great idea to try to play as much as you could while you were there. I definitely think that Virginia Tech game, if there was different circumstances, I thought would have had a different outcome. But I like that. I like how they're taking the approach of playing in the pavilion as much as they can and staying local with, you know, St. Joe, you know, Joe's. And so I like the formula. So hopefully they'll get to continually play as many of these games as they can. But you're right. You know, Creighton, that's probably, you know, I mean, that's really – and it's weird. They play them – I just looked it up here. They play them February 13th and then not again until March 3rd. So they play them late in the season too.
Yeah.
So who knows what's going to happen by then, you know?
Right. That's a long way away, so there's no way of knowing.
Yeah, a lot can happen. But like you said, the next – you got Marquette coming up and then Xavier on in the new year, January 2nd, and then DePaul if they do play games. So those are your next three that are up. And, you know, overall, like we said, they're edging up. They're getting back into the top five, which I believe, you know, that's where they should be. Ranked-wise, I know Michigan State just lost, so they might be dropping out.
Illinois. Did you see Gonzaga?
Illinois.
Did you see Gonzaga in Iowa?
Yes. Yep.
What did you think of those two
Gonzaga
teams?
Gonzaga looks good. Iowa, I'm not impressed by. Gonzaga, you know, I like to see them play against a better defensive team. Because I think Iowa, if you want my opinion, I think they're a little overrated. So
they're so dependent on one player.
Yeah, yeah.
And he
guards it.
Right.
I mean, that's their whole
team. An interior player, and I noticed that if they're not, they have a lot of guys that aren't the most athletic, and they're out there trying to hit open threes, if they're not on shooting Iowa, they ain't winning. So
right.
I was very surprised. Now, I've seen some other teams in the Big Ten. You mentioned Illinois. Hey, don't sleep on that Rutgers team. That Rutgers team is good.
Ron Harper Jr.
Yeah, Ron Harper Jr., Geo Baker. That's a good squad. They would have made the tournament last year if it wouldn't have gotten canceled. The Big Ten is really good. Wisconsin's a good team too. That you can't overlook them either. They play, I believe they play Michigan State on Christmas. I just saw an ad for that. So that's going to be an interesting game. But Gonzaga, to me, they're deep too. Now everyone talks about Kispert and Timmy and the freshman who's awesome. His name's Suggs. He's the freshman point guard. Mm-hmm. He's probably a one and done.
Yes, yes.
But they're deep. They go 9-10 deep, and all these guys can play, and they can all run the floor. And the only hope you have with playing against a team like that, and again, I'm looking way, way down the road. This probably isn't for this podcast, but their conference is also not so hot. Occasionally, I guess St. Mm-hmm. Mary's is like they're usually their biggest rival and their toughest competition. Sometimes when they've had trouble in the tournament because they haven't been tested. So they usually play these tough non-conference games in December, and then they roll through their conference. And then in March, they've stumbled. I remember seeing them last year and thinking I thought they were a Final Four team last year. Now you add Suggs, I don't see how they don't make it. They're probably going to be a number one seed in the West. I wouldn't see why they wouldn't be. It's just, you know, what type of team they run into along the way. But my first impression of them is that they're really, really good.
I also think, too, Chris, it has to deal with how the tournament's going to be set up as well. Will they go to another, you know, Bubbleville type thing, where you have just four bubbles across the country? I think that, you know, playing that, you know, those games there and not really traveling, and some other teams that aren't going to be going back and forth, you know, because if you have, let's say you have the West bracket and you have some East Coast teams, and now because of the bubble, they're all over there for a while, then you don't have that back and forth across the country. So you kind of lose the seeding, you know, your advantage for staying out west or staying out east, you know, vice versa. So I definitely think it's going to be interesting how they handle it. And the teams that are going to be in these bubbles, I think that's going to be interesting, because that's a big thing. The travel might go away for a lot of these teams.
Yeah, I mean, if you it could almost get to – are they going to do it in one location? They talked about doing it in Indianapolis for the whole tournament. I don't know. I don't know logistically how that would work with 64 teams, but 68 teams if you include the play-in games. It's all a big unknown at this point, so we're just, you know, throwing it out there, speculating, but, you know, it's hard to say in December.
Should be interesting, very interesting, come middle of March. I'm looking forward to it, and I know some people are against this type of thing. They're like, it's not the same, blah, 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 blah. Well, I like the change. I think it's going to be very exciting, and you're going to get a lot of these teams at their best playing in these bubble conditions. I watched how NBA did it, and those teams were all firing on full cylinders, and the games were good. And I think that is what you're going to get for March Madness this year.
Agree.
The iHeartRadio app provides your music, your stations, and is rated number one for podcasts. Stream unlimited music, thousands of live radio stations, podcasts, and playlists for any mood or activity, all in one app. The iHeartRadio app is easy to use, and best of all, it's free. Download the iHeartRadio app and start listening to your favorite live radio stations, podcasts, and music playlists today.
All right, Chris. We're going to talk a little bit now. We're going to change things up a little bit, and we're going to talk about college basketball betting. And we're going to talk about the fundamentals, I want to say, and strategies of betting on college basketball. It's extremely overwhelming. There's over 350 Division I teams out there, over 30 conferences. There's so many games every single day. It's very overwhelming. But we're going to talk a little bit about some do's, some don'ts, some things to look out for. We'll give a little bit of our own personal opinion on things. But the number one thing for me and my number one rule, when you're betting, don't forget, this money's coming out of your pocket. Don't wing it. Am I right?
You're probably right. You want to do your homework. You want to do your research, or else you're just flushing your money down the toilet. Especially, like you said, in college basketball, there's so many variables, and it's a little trickier. The lines don't always appear what they seem. And, you know, we talked the other night about the Villanova-St. Joe's line was 21.5, right? Nova minus 21.5?
Yep.
And how many points did they win by?
Yep.
They won by 20, exactly, right. So, again, you could have been really happy that you took St. Joe's and the points, or you could have been really upset that I can't believe Nova didn't cover.
Right, and everybody has to realize when you're going in and you're placing a bet, these numbers that you're looking at are just not numbers that people are pulling out of their ass. These guys know how to make a spread, how to make an over under. They're not just pulling numbers out of the sky. So you have to be very careful when you go into these bets, because when you first look at that and you say, oh my God, 21.5, damn, that's not going to be even close. It's going to be either Villanova is going to blow them out by more, or St. Joe's is going to make it that much closer of a game. But like you just said, it came out at 20. So it hit right there. And that's really what you got to pay attention to. But my couple of things, and I'll just kind of throw this out, and then Chris, you can kind of agree, disagree with what I'm saying. The very first thing you have to do when you're making bets is you got to make a plan. The first thing you should do when betting college hoops is to make a plan on what you want to bet. You're either going to bet straight up. Are you going to do parlays? Are you going to do spreads? Are you going to do money lines? I think you need to focus on one thing and focus on that and become proficient in that one thing. To try to go in and do, oh, I'm money line over here. I'm going to do a spread over here. I'm going to parlay this games, you know, these three games over here. I think that's a lot to do when you're first learning out, you know, first starting out, and, you know, you're trying to be profitable, you know, and not have money just pouring out of your pocket.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it could be overwhelming, and I understand you mentioned the parlay. The parlays are tempting because of the mm-hmm. payouts, and I get that. However, mm-hmm. they're probably, would you agree, one of the most difficult bets to hit on, especially if you're talking about a three-team parlay? It has to be at least three teams, correct?
Yeah.
Three games?
Right.
Yeah. So,
yes.
Boy, your odds have already dramatically decreased. So you might want to, if you just, like you said, you're just getting started, that might be something you want to hold off on at first. Have a plan, go into it You might even want to start with the over-unders. You like two mm-hmm. teams. You think they're high scoring. You like we mentioned Gonzaga earlier. Gonzaga and Iowa, two top five teams. Gonzaga plays a faster paced style. Maybe you take the over in that game.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's the key. You have to, when you make that plan, right? And you have to do, you mentioned it, you got to do your homework, okay? You got to keep records, all right? Keeping records, to me, is something that should become a habit for everybody. You know, records help you stay disciplined within what you're trying to do. You know, and I know that there's a lot of information out there. Sometimes, especially with college basketball, the amount of games going on, you're kind of in information overload. But to be able to focus in on certain things and, you know, just you need to be able to filter out that information from good and bad. And once you get that information in place, you got to be accountable to that information. So it's important to do your homework. It's very, very important. And like you said, maybe you start out, and my philosophy is, you know, we're from New Jersey. Mm-hmm. We kind of grew up East Coast, Big East. So for me, I follow the Big East, obviously, with Villanova. So I know more teams in the Big East. So for me to create my betting portfolio, the Big East Conference is, for me, where I would start.
Rob, do you think it, for someone that might be just wanting to dip their feet in the water, would it be beneficial to start on the mobile websites, or would you prefer going in person to an actual sports book, even though it may be a different environment now with the pandemic and things like that? What would you recommend for somebody that, you know, would it be beneficial to do it from your device, or would you go to the sports book?
Well, for me personally, I find that I bet more when I'm at a sports book in person. When I'm actually there, you know, we go to AC. Obviously, AC is not that far from us. So we go to, you know, wherever, the Bally's or wherever resorts, wherever we go.
Hey, when Rob, I'm who has a room now? I know Borgata's got a really nice big sports book. Who else has sports book? Right, Borgata, I know Borgata. Who else has books down there?
They all do. Resorts okay. has one. Resorts has, I believe, FanDuel. That's where FanDuel is. The new place was at Ocean. What's the other place? The new one, Ocean Palace, or whatever that is. It used to be the one with the golf ball on top.
Revel.
It now. Well, yeah. It used to be the Revel. Now it's called Ocean Some. They have an awesome. They have a really good, nice sports book in there. Caesars has a sports book. Bally's has a sports book. You can pretty much go wherever you want to any one of these casinos and sit down to something as far as a sports book goes. So I believe I like resorts the best because that's where FanDuel okay. was. They had a really nice setup in there. But going back to your original question was, I like betting, like right now, it's easy to bet on your mobile device, whether it be your computer or your phone. I mean, it's simple. You make the bet, you kind of get it in, and boom, you're done. Obviously, you can't go to, you know, physically to AC, at least I can't, every single night to place a bet. So it's easier to do it online. But when I am at the sports book, I seem to pull more money out of my pocket, and I do this, or you know what? This looks interesting. Like I went every year I go to place a bet on San Diego Chargers okay. winning the Super Bowl. For the last 6-7 years, I've gone to one of these sports book and laid down a future bet at whatever odds are at that point in time that San Diego Chargers are going to win the Super Bowl. the last couple times that I've gone and done that, all of a sudden I'm reaching back in my pocket and I'm saying, hey, this player might win the MVP in the NBA. Or, this team might win the World Series. Let me bet, you know, it. For some reason, when I'm there, I tend to reach in my pocket more. So I think that's something as somebody who is starting to get into this, it's easier, more convenient, and I think you're more disciplined sitting in front of a computer than actually going there. I think once you get in there and you're over, you see all these TVs and you see everything. I mean, even Freehold, right? Freehold in Freehold.
Yeah, correct.
They have it too, right? You said
Parks Casino in Bensalem.
Yeah.
Recently opened up a sports book at the Freehold Raceway track. Now Parks in Bensalem is a very nice full casino that I don't know. I think did they have their book before Atlantic City? I think New Jersey got sports betting before Pennsylvania, correct? New Jersey had it first. So I think
Borgata was one of the
first. They were, and they had it in the old simulcasting area where you could bet on horse racing. And then eventually, I think I think it was only a year ago, 2019. I think the summer of 2019, they opened up the full service sports book. That honestly is, if you've ever been to Las Vegas, it's as nice as a lot of the ones that are in Las Vegas. It's enormous and has a full service bar and food and things like that and huge screens, and it's really, really good. And I think they also have, if you're intimidated walking up, a lot of people might be intimidated to speak to an actual person and place their bet. They have kiosks. So if you feel a little awkward, you could just walk up to a kiosk and place your bet in that manner. And last year, a lot of people were probably looking forward to going to their local sports book during March Madness. However, we didn't get to experience that. So I think this year, people are going to be just thrilled to be able to go there on a Friday, take off of work. And I mean, I'm thinking, let's do it. Cause I'm excited. I might call in sick that day and say, hey, let's go down to Borgata and have a few drinks. And
that's the place to do it. If we're going to do that and we call out, I know we've gotten together for March Madness before, and gone to different places, but down there, we definitely
need
a place to go. Because why can't I think of Ocean, whatever that is.
Is it Ocean the Club?
Old Revel. It's Ocean, I don't know, Ocean Place
I know
or something like that, whatever. But you should see their sports book room. I mean, it is huge, huge. The screens, you walk in there and you're like, you feel like, I mean, the money just comes out of your pocket the minute you walk into that room. I'm sorry. I mean, that's just how it is. And you got to be careful walking. That's the other thing too. You know, for me, I'm a little bit more disciplined when I'm in front of my computer and I'm sitting in front of my house and I'm looking around my room and I'm like, okay, well, I can't necessarily just throw $200 on this game right now because, you know, my sink is, you know, my faucet's leaking over here. So I know I'm going to have to fix that. And, you know, my toilet's running up there, so I know I'm going to have to fix that. So, you know, you're a little bit more disciplined in front of a computer than once I walk into sports bets. At least mine. But that's actually one of the cool perks of betting on games is it obviously makes you more interested into the game, and you get to enjoy the game. For me, it's enjoyable to have something on a game, and it gets me that much more into it. And watching games and focusing and gathering information is a key with betting. You're going to lose a lot of money if you do not do your homework and gather information and figure out a plan to bet. If you don't do that and you think you're just going to go in and walk in and lay money down and just come away victorious, I'm telling you, it's not going to happen that way. These guys who set, you know, the William Hills and all this, they know what they're doing. They set these lines. It's no joke. And, you know, money can easily flow out of your pocket if you don't pay attention to what you're doing. Now, let me ask you something this. So we'll talk a little bit about this on future podcasts, but let's just talk very simple. Right now, I'm looking at a FanDuel sports book. I have my account open, and right now I'm in for the 2021 NCAA Men's Basketball Champion. So you could do a futures bet based upon these teams. So right now, the team that's favored the most to win the championship is Gonzaga, and they're going off at plus 350.
It was 450 before the Iowa game. Yeah. Okay.
Correct. Baylor is now plus 800. Villanova is now plus 900.
Okay.
So what that means is with the plus 900, so basically it's 9-1 odds that you're getting for Villanova to win. So basically for every dollar that you bet on Villanova winning this championship, you will get back $9. That's how it works. So on a wager of $25, let's say you want to throw $25 on Villanova winning, you will get, if they win, a return of $225 on that bet. That's how these futures work. And to be honest, Chris, I don't know if you agree with me with this. This is actually a very simple, easy way to bet. Would you agree?
I mean, it's self-explanatory, like you said. When you calculate the odds times the amount of money that you bet, I wouldn't bet a lot of money on someone to win the championship because it's a very difficult accomplishment to win an NCAA tournament. But if you're getting strong odds, then it might be worth throwing a few bucks on a team. Would I bet on Gonzaga? No, because I don't think your return on investment is all that great. At plus 350, yeah.
Correct.
But Nova at 900, sure. Why not?
Right. I just changed my bet. I said, all right, you know what? I mean, for simplicity purposes, I'll put $100 on Villanova. I'll win $900 if they win it.
Sure.
You know? And that's why I brought up the San Diego Charger one. I've been placing that bet, whether it's been – through the phones or in person at, you know, wherever Caesars, wherever I went. But to me, that was simple. The Chargers are my favorite team. They've never won a Super Bowl. They always get good odds. Their possibilities on winning sometimes are greater than not. But for me, I go down there with my $100, whatever, and I place that bet. And I've never gotten lucky yet. So I've lost a lot more money than I've won because I haven't won yet. But that's just a simple thing for me to do, to walk down and just say, all right, give me the Chargers to win the Super Bowl. You don't have to worry about all those plus and minuses and, you know, what's the spread, you know, all that other stuff, you know, straight up spreads, you know, money lines, you know. It makes it a little bit easier just to do an outright winner. So that's how I would start if I was just starting. If I was just starting.
No, again, and it gives you a rooting interest too, like you said earlier.
Right. It makes it interesting. Yeah. You know? Don't get me wrong. Like, trust me. I'm not Daddy Warbucks where I can just, you know, throw money out the window and not worry about it. So, obviously, gambling is a disease. Things could go bad for some people. But for me, it's just one of those things to kind of, yeah, it kind of gets me more focused on certain things. And for me, I watch the Big East because I'm, you know, a huge Nova fan. So it makes sense that, hey, you know, I know a lot about St. Joe's or a lot about St. John's, or just because I have watched them growing up in the Big East. So that's the information that you gather, and that's the information you can use while placing these bets. But definitely something, it's really popular. I mean, there's so many different online websites out there to place these bets, especially if you fall in one of the states that obviously allow it. That's another thing. New Jersey does allow it where we are. So it's fun. And like I said, we're going to talk a little bit about it more in future episodes, where maybe we'll talk a few minutes at the end of every episode about some different games, maybe some spreads, and talk a little bit more moving on. But we just wanted to talk a little bit about it and give you a little introduction, should I say, into sports betting. So just be careful, though.
Yeah, 1-800. You know? If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah, that's on. That's the first thing you click on when you go to any of these sites.
Are you looking for an expert advertising agency? If so, the Ryan James Agency will set you on a path to success. They are supremely creative thinkers with a future-focused approach. At the Ryan James Agency, they leverage their creative power with strategic digital marketing and advertising experience to demand results for their clients. Great results come from great creativity, no matter what the medium. That's the bottom line that raises your bottom line. Check them out at RyanJamesAgency.com.
What's up, Nova Nation? If you have any questions that you would like to have answered or discussed on the show, email us at thenovanationpodcast@gmail.com.